Welcome to Let's Talk with Dr. Batts. Stories, conditions, solutions. An award-winning podcast exploring the stories, conditions, and solutions that shape how communities heal, belong, and thrive. I'm Dr. Hassan Batts, community epidemiologist, narrative change strategist, and community health journalist. Each month, we sit down with survivors, healers, researchers, and community leaders and everyday people whose stories help us understand the conditions that shape health, safety, healing, and belonging. Because behind every statistic is a person. Behind every person is a story. And behind every story points to something bigger. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk. Today, we're honored to welcome Joanne Vanessa Moise. Joanne is a gun violence survivor, the crisis intervention team coordinator for Northampton County, and someone whose lived experience has become a source of healing and hope for others. In my opinion, she's a superhero. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I mean, it is my honor to have you. Your story has been one of, as I shared, hope and healing, inspiration to people. And I want to introduce you to the audience. So let's talk about who you are, how you got here. What is the story behind Joanne?
Well, I was born in Carolina, Puerto Rico. I moved to Bridgewater, New Jersey when I was just a baby. My parents my dad is an immigrant from Haiti. My mom also came from Puerto Rico as well. I graduated from Rutgers University with a criminal justice degree. And right after I graduated, I went into private security for 3 years. So okay. I was doing that. And I moved to Pennsylvania about 3 years ago. I came here because my parents decided to move to Easton. So I've been here for 3 years, and I was doing private security until last February. I was in an incident in Allentown. I was shot five times. I was shot five times working security. I was doing nightlife security. So I had to move on from that, and now I work as a CIT coordinator for Northampton County and NAMI Lehigh Valley.
Wow.
Yeah.
you said that, like, it speaks to your strength and resilience. I would imagine your life changed in an instant.
It did, yes.
And you just look at it as a blip, and I had to move on to what was next. So it didn't stop you.
No, life moves on. It didn't stop me. It definitely, what's the word for it? It definitely rearranged my goals.
Okay.
And my, the journey, right? But it never stopped me from achieving, you know, the success that have now.
Your story didn't end there.
It did not end there. It actually began. It just started a new story.
Wow. So you pivoted.
Yes.
Now, we know Tupac was shot five times. 50 was shot five times. Like, this is major.
Yeah.
Was this targeted? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah. So, well, I'll give you a little rundown on the story. I was working at a after hours venue at BKK in Allentown. We actually don't know if it was really targeted. My boss died that night. He died in front of me.
So not only did you have the personal experience and trauma, you also had witnessing someone who you were in a relationship die.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's rough.
Yes.
Let me pause and say this. I am so appreciative and happy that you're with us.
Thank you.
And I mean alive.
Thank
like,
you.
Like, that's real. Thank you for gracing us with your presence and your strength. And, you know, I'm just glad to know you.
Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you heard me say earlier, stories speak to conditions, right? So it's about you. And it's also about how do we get to a place where a young lady that did everything right is shot five times.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's a couple things that go into that. Before I went to work that night, my parents had a feeling. They said, "Are you sure you want to go to work?" My mom was like, "You don't have to. I'll even pay for you for the night. Just stay home."
Wow.
They had a feeling.
Wow.
I didn't listen to that feeling because I'm young. We don't want to listen to our parents sometimes. And I was like, "I'm just going to go to work, you know." They're like, "You don't have to go. But if you're going to go, let us pray for you." They always pray for me before I leave the house.
Okay.
So they said, "Let us pray for you before you leave." And, you know, they did. And I went to work and I said, "I'll see you guys in a couple hours." And then usually how the night goes is I work at one venue, and then at 3 a.m. I go to the next venue, so I would go to the after hours.
You're a hard worker.
Yeah. I like to work. Like to work. I come from two parents who came from nothing.
That's right.
They both came from poverty, and, you know, they became doctors themselves. So I have no excuse, right, at least in my opinion.
And you said you like to work.
Yes.
And you majored in criminal justice.
Yes.
So security was your thing, or is your thing, because you're still in the criminal justice field.
Yes, security was my thing for that time. It wasn't my goal. It still isn't, like, it is not my goal. The goal was to be, and is still to be, in the FBI. I wanted to be in the FBI since I was 8 years old.
I mean, FBI, there's a lot of different roles in FBI.
Yeah, so I wanted to be a field agent. I wanted to work.
That's a cop.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Officer.
Yes. I wanted to work with the behavioral analysis unit. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with mental illness.
Okay.
I wanted to work with people, you know, who had diagnoses and all that.
Like the show, I forget.
Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds.
That's what you want to. You have the look.
Thank you.
And now we have video. This is the first time we've ever had video, so folks get to see what I look like, what you
that.
Look like.
Yeah.
But
that.
You have the glasses. I see it. You know, Criminal Minds. Okay.
Yeah. So that was the goal. It still is the goal. I don't think I can be in the field anymore because due to my injuries, I got shot in. I shattered both my femurs. They shot both my legs. They shot me in my ribs. They shot me in my hip, and they shot me in my butt. So I don't think I'm going to be in the field. I don't really think I want to be in the field anymore. Mm-hmm. I did promise my parents I wouldn't do anything like that, and I like to keep my promises, especially to my parents. But I do at least want to be maybe on the law side of it, an intelligence analyst, something that, you know.
Why the FBI?
I don't know what it is. I have so much respect for them, for the federal government. My mom also works for the federal government. So I don't know. I think it's just something that it always appealed to me. I was always watching James Bond movies.
That's
and, you know, I just always loved it. And my parents are like, you sure you don't want to go to medical school? I'm like, no.
Two parents that are doctors.
Two
and you
parents
want to
that
be a
are doctors.
Agent.
I want to be a field agent. They're like, okay. Like, that's you know, but I'm the only child. So I don't have any siblings, and you know, my parents had me later in life. They had me at 42, so they're a little bit older.
So you started your introduction going into the night to change their life, right?
Yeah.
But 95% of this conversation has been about family.
Right.
So let's back up and let's talk about family, because family is obviously important to you.
The most important to me.
Talk to us about family. About you followed your parents here. Like they seem to be everything to you.
And I've never said this on a like radio or anything. So this is the first time I'm actually really telling my true story, right? So I was born in Puerto Rico, but I was adopted.
Okay.
So my parents, I mean, I was adopted like the day after I was born, I was given to my parents. So it was
so they're your parents.
Yeah, they are my parents. I wasn't in a foster home. I wasn't, you know, they are my parents. I was given to my parents.
So you turned tragedy into triumph over and over and over again
from
in your
life. From the day I was born.
From the day you were born.
My dad always says I'm his brave little girl.
Listen, I'm hearing it. There's a theme.
Yeah. But if you see that, I look exactly like my parents. I'm their twin. But so my birth mother, she chose my parents through an agency.
Okay.
And I think they knew, they found out that I was going to be born maybe a month, maybe two weeks before I was born. They were like, they got the call.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you need to come to Puerto Rico. They were in San Diego. They were like, you need to come to Puerto Rico. You know, there's a baby that's going to be born, and we would like to give them to you. So I don't know where I would be without them.
That's right.
They gave me the life that I have. From the day I was born. My dad always says, you were in first class. You were in first class coming from Puerto Rico to New Jersey, you know?
Wow.
So I was.
That says a lot.
Yeah. I was blessed from the day I was born.
Yeah, that says a lot. We joke, I have a 3-year-old son, and we're like, he's been to 5 countries in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I'm super blessed.
And you're appreciative.
Oh, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. I would not be able to do anything that I've done without them.
Mm-hmm.
So family is definitely the most important thing to me. And being the only child and coming from parents who have come from nothing, like my dad was raised in Haiti.
Okay.
He came here when he was 18, 19 for college. My mom in Mayo West, Puerto Rico. So they were broke. They didn't have anything.
They had to work for everything.
They had to work for everything.
And watching them, you got that work ethic.
Yes. Watching them, I got that work ethic. And it definitely made me humble because they said, not everybody has what you have. They would bring me to Philly because I have family in Philly. And they're like, see, your family doesn't have all this. They bring me to Puerto Rico. Your family doesn't have everything you have. You need to be appreciative.
That's right.
To be humble.
That's right.
So they met in medical school in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So they met in medical school, and, you know.
So family's a theme, appreciation's a theme, mm-hmm. and then there's this theme of resilience, right?
Yeah.
I don't know until I text you maybe last week about coming on the show, right? Mm-hmm. But we spoke prior to that. I don't know if you recall.
I know. I reached out to you after after I got shot, I think.
It was probably days after you got shot.
I think my train of thought was like, well, I'm alive, so I better do something with it. Like,
and that's the energy you had.
Yeah.
Like, you had the energy, like, I'm on go. Yeah. I'm still here. I'm going to change the world. That's what I got. Every time I've interacted with you or witnessed you on social media, that's what I've gotten from you. Or even heard about you from you. We have some friends in common.
Yeah.
They are like, this woman is a force.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So. Where does that come from? What is that? What's next? Like, what are you doing with that passion?
So I really want to partner with nonprofits advocate for gun violence.
That's right.
I really want to work with them.
That's right.
I don't know exactly how to pinpoint it. Mm-hmm. I just want to do something where I can help those who have survived, families who, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. who have been affected by gun violence.
And you have that lived experience that you stand on.
And I think that's why in the work that I do, right, I'm a CIT coordinator for Northampton County.
What is CIT? Critical incident?
Crisis intervention training. We basically train first responders. It could be cops, sheriffs. Okay. I just did a 40-hour training for sheriffs and corrections. We train them on how to respond to a crisis with empathy, de-escalation. Mm-hmm. You don't immediately have to use of force. That's what we train them in.
So whether it's a mental health crisis or mm-hmm. something's going on,
you try to be more empathetic, try to understand others more.
That's right.
I think they see me and they're like, this 27-year-old girl, right? Because they're all older than me and they're all
you don't know
men.
Anything. You don't know about crisis.
She doesn't know anything. And then they're like, okay, she has a degree. Okay, whatever. Yeah,
she still doesn't know anything about crisis and trauma and violence. Exactly. You don't know anything.
So then when I tell them my story, I start off with that. They're like, oh. It's like, yeah, I know.
So let's talk about how the system responded to you.
So how the system responded to me, the people I work with, the law enforcement, like those kind of.
Whoever, healthcare, law enforcement, first responders. You experienced this traumatic event,
uh-huh.
right? So we know, you've mentioned some physical injuries that occurred. Mm-hmm. But how did the world respond? How did the systems that are designed to heal and help respond and support you through this?
Let's start with healthcare because that was the first people who saved my life, right? Mm-hmm. My doctors, I went to a Lehigh Valley in Muhlenberg.
Mm-hmm.
They saved my life and they were amazing.
Okay.
They supported me every
Beautiful.
Step. With going from ICU to just, you know.
Shout out to those trauma surgeons and
the
doctors.
Oh, my God. Man. Dr. Proctor, he's one of my, yeah. I just got an award for being a trauma survivor at Lehigh Valley.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I got to meet my whole, my whole team.
Yeah,
I met
yeah.
the...
They live for that.
Yeah, and I loved it. I got to... Yeah. And the EMTs in Allentown, the police, I got to meet literally everybody.
That contributed to your recovery.
Mm-hmm. And it meant so much because I think about them every day. They don't know that, but I think about them every day. I actually think about this. I mean, I look at my scars every day, right? So I think about the whole situation every single day.
But you don't just think about the trauma. You think about the healing of it.
I think about the healing. I think about everybody that has helped me, the kindness, the empathy that
they had. So what's your message to first responders, to healers, to helpers that oftentimes get forgotten?
That they're not forgotten. They are. If they think that they are, they're definitely not coming from a survivor.
Mm.
They're not forgotten. The work that they do is super important. The way that they handled the crisis,
mm-hmm.
When I was in the ambulance and they were like, are you okay? Like, you know, like they were just.
There was compassion and
they
humanity.
Were very compassionate. I mean, I called my dad from the ambulance. I was like, y'all got to get to the hospital like now. And my dad was like, what happened? Like, you know, because I didn't call my
mom.
So
you were able to speak with two broken femurs.
I was up. I was speaking. I called my dad. I did not tell my dad what happened because I didn't want, I was thinking about them on the way they are. I know that they're going to rush, get to the car and rush to the hospital. I didn't want them getting into a car crash on the way to the hospital. So I'm like, all right, let's not tell them exactly what happened. Let's just tell them that something happened.
In that moment, you were thinking of family.
Yeah. Yeah. I there was something in me that knew I wasn't going to die. Right. I didn't die immediately. I was like up. I was
That's
like,
right.
I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm not going to fall asleep. I want to wake up and, I knew that they would find me, you know, so.
You knew your parents would find you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it took a little bit because they put me under, they put me as like a Jane Doe, When a victim of a crime is admitted to the hospital, they put you as Jane Doe because they don't know who's coming.
Somebody's looking for you. Yeah. So. We're gonna take a quick break.
Okay.
We're in the studio with Joanne. This is Let's Talk here with Dr. Batts. We're gonna come back. We're gonna learn more about you.
Okay.
We're gonna learn about what's to come, and how do we connect? All right.
All right.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm in the studio with Joanne Moise. This is Dr. Batts, and a very inspirational young lady that I have to keep calling you a superhero, right? Like you're like the phoenix. You're coming through the ashes. I mean, you had this horrific experience that you're using as a survivor to change the world, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what's next. Let's talk about the people you're touching, the people you want to touch, what support you need to do that. I mean, you mentioned working with nonprofits. We can definitely connect you, mm-hmm. you know, with nonprofits to do this work.
Yes, I want to definitely work with nonprofits, politicians with these laws or what's going on, especially here in the Lehigh Valley and mm-hmm. Allentown. You see all the shootings that's been going
on. So there's been three youth shot in the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been insane.
Yeah. After a significant decrease.
Yes. Yeah. I reached out to the mayor about it. Mm-hmm. Love him. Shout out to Mayor Turk. He visited me in the hospital, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
Wow. Yes, shout out to Mayor Turk.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been very sad seeing all the news. I've been impacted by it. I'm sure they don't know that, but like...
Like re-traumatized.
Yeah, it's like... And then it's like, you know, they didn't survive. So it's like, I know how the families are feeling right now. Like, because I can see when my parents were going through it, even though I survived, they're still going through it. So I could just imagine those whose kids did not survive, you know?
What do you attribute this violence to?
It's a lot of things. I've been seeing a lot of posts about maybe that there's not enough things to do mm-hmm. for kids, for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, because it's not the parents' fault, right? But I do think that, I mean, some parents, I feel like, need to be a little bit more strict with their kids, maybe a little bit more structure. I'm not saying the parents of those who got shot, but, like, I'm just saying in general. Even if I can't say it's the parents, because my parents were the strictest ever, and I still
got shot. Were working.
Yeah, and I was working,
Your parents were strict, yeah. You were working, and you got shot five times.
Exactly. I mean, so it can happen anywhere.
You're living proof that it can happen anywhere.
It could happen anywhere.
You know, so. And we talk about this the statistics, right? We call staggering statistics that the leading killer of children in America is gun violence.
Yeah.
And that's not a boogeyman. People like to tell this story that it's like this big bad gang member. No, it's accidental shootings, it's mm-hmm. suicides, it's mm-hmm. things like this. Like, so we have to find safe ways to be in community, you know, with children.
I feel like there needs to be a way that they can let out their anger. I'm really big into martial arts. I do I've been doing my recovery at Boxology in Easton. Also, shout out to them.
I keep driving by there. Is it worth checking out?
Oh my God, it's amazing.
We don't want to have a commercial for Boxology.
No, but they are amazing. Let's just say with my recovery, the coaches there, they have helped me immensely.
So martial arts is more than physical.
Yeah, it's
emotionally,
definitely.
It supports people's recovery. Because we need to talk about that too, right? We need to talk about what is the recovery plan that you suggest for people.
Yeah.
So one thing is something physical that they're doing with their body.
Yes, martial arts, boxing, MMA. My dad had me in martial arts since I was 7.
Okay. What
I was doing taekwondo.
Okay.
And then I went into boxing, and now mm-hmm. I've been doing a little bit of MMA, but with my knees, I'm still, you know. Still
What's your favorite hard. Martial arts?
I gotta say taekwondo.
Okay.
Taekwondo.
That's a lot of kicking.
It's a lot of kicking, but it's also a lot of discipline in it.
Okay.
And one thing that they teach us is you don't use this for bad. You don't use this for evil.
Yeah.
Use this for defense.
That's right.
So
you think more children in the community should have access to martial arts?
Or just more youth programs. They should be doing things with their free time. I mean, there's a saying that it's like too much free time will get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact saying of it, but
that's the gist of it.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Kids need to be more busy. Yeah. They need to be more busy.
More structure in their lives.
Exactly.
So let's talk about your advice to trauma survivors, to survivors of gun violence. You're still on your journey of recovery.
Right.
But what has supported it? Martial arts?
Martial arts, family, right? That's the biggest thing.
Strong support system.
My parents are my strongest support system. But I would say don't be afraid to get help.
Mm-hmm.
I think after I was shot, I was like, I'm not going to go to therapy. I don't want them to look at me as a victim. I'm strong. And being a female in the criminal justice system, already you look down on.
Okay.
Like, people underestimate you.
Okay.
So I didn't want people to think, like, I'm weak,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I needed the help. I still need the help. You know, I already had anxiety beforehand, so now the PTSD and all stuff, it's major. Yeah, I go to PTSD groups sometimes.
Wow.
Working for NAMI, they've definitely helped me out also because, you know, National Alliance of Mental Illness. So
shout out to NAMI.
Shout out to NAMI, Lehigh Valley. Yeah. Yeah.
We had Leo Rooney and Darnell Scott on here once. They were the president and vice president of the board at one point.
Oh, really?
A couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, the support system,
okay.
Being in something physical,
okay.
getting help. You need to get help because sometimes you'll have delayed PTSD like I did. Okay. I was good. I was like,
and
ready
how long
to
ago
work.
Was this?
When I got shot?
Yeah.
February 2nd, 2025. So last year.
Wow, really? A little over a year?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, a little over a year.
You are remarkable.
Thank you.
All right, so I have a question for you. When you think about everything you've been through and everything you learned, what gives you hope today?
Everything that I've been through and everything that I learned, what gives me hope today? I would say the future gives me hope.
The future, say more.
Just like how I envision myself in 10 years, that gives me hope on just like how I want to proceed with life, how much I want to work. I want to work super hard. I want to achieve all my goals. So just like the thought of like giving back, the thought of not only just to, you know, the community, but giving back to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to just afford whatever for them, you know, just give them everything that they've given me. I think that the future is definitely what gives me hope. And just helping people out. I want to help as many people and touch as many people as I can.
What's your message to the 15, 16-year-old that's carrying a gun every day, riding around with that gun?
It's not worth it. It's not cool. It's not worth it. It's not cool to be in the hood or a gangster, you know. I think that obviously that's glamorized now by all the – and I love rap. I'm not saying I don't – I love rap, you know, but I think it's glamorized now by all the just the media in general, you know, the songs that are out there. Like, it's not worth it.
Who's your favorite rapper? Got to pick one.
Oh, my God. I mean – I'm really feeling Moneybagg Yo right now. I love Moneybagg.
Listen, I like some Moneybagg Yo.
I love Moneybagg Yo right now.
That's a good one.
I like Drake, though. You know, Drake.
Classic. Okay. What's your message to...
50, by the way. 50 is my heart. I like 50.
And now you guys can relate.
I want to meet him so bad.
Yeah, and I don't mean it to be offensive when I say that, right? But that's I thought of Tupac and 50 immediately, like, you know?
I want to meet him, yeah.
It changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your message to Joe and Jane, average Joe and Jane, sitting in their home thinking this issue of gun violence has nothing to do with them because they're just going to work every day and minding their business?
It has everything to do with them. It has everything to do with the whole community. Because one person who gets impacted by gun violence, if one person gets impacted by gun violence, 100 people get impacted. It's like the whole community gets impacted. You just saw, like we were just talking about the kids in Allentown who got shot these past, 3 weeks? Like, I didn't even know who they were, and I'm feeling for their families. You know, like I wanted to reach out to their families. I just didn't want to look crazy doing it, but like it's like, I know what you're going through.
Their families are listening. What do you have to say to them?
My heart goes out to you guys. They can always reach out to me for support. I know that everybody says that, like you can always reach. I know they may not want the support right now. I definitely didn't, but when they're ready, if they want to talk, whatever they want to do, I'm here for them.
And how do people reach you?
Well, Instagram is one.
Okay.
They can reach me on my Instagram, at J I think it's JV. I don't even know my Instagram.
Well, we can put that. Yeah, we can add it to
Instagram. My email, Nami. I work for
Nami. So that's a place to reach you.
Nami, yes. Yep. And I work for Northampton County, so they can always reach me there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your message to the young girl out there that feels alone, no trauma, just you said that you had anxiety prior to mm-hmm. this, right? So she's just living with anxiety. She's worried. She feels alone. What is your message to her?
Find someone that you can trust in, whether it's your parents. Just find that one person. For me, obviously, I think my first anxiety attack, it was when I was 15 years old. I immediately called my mom. Right, my mom helped me through it over the phone. I was in boarding school in Puerto Rico at that time.
Okay.
She was on the phone with me the whole night. Find someone that you can put that trust in, because you're not alone. You're not alone. And a lot of people feel alone, but you're not. And I would never want that one person to do something to themselves. Suicide is a big thing. It's real. So get that help, the therapy, you know, that support group, anything.
Yeah.
Or me, if you need to reach out to me.
Reach you at NAMI, right?
Reach me at NAMI,
reach you at NAMI. National Association for Mental Illness.
Yes, National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Alliance for Mental Illness mm-hmm. in Northampton County.
Mm-hmm. Specifically in Lehigh Valley, yes.
In Lehigh Valley. Yeah. Yep. Why don't you quit?
I can't, because I'm doing it for those who already have quit. I'm doing it for those who have given up. I'm doing it for those who feel like there's no way out. Mm. For those who have committed suicide.
Yeah.
For those who have given up. I can't quit. I can't quit for my parents. Definitely for my parents. They've done everything for me. It would be a shame if I just stopped doing what I'm doing.
So you have a duty to your ancestors and the people that have paved the way for you.
Yeah.
To give back to the next generation is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, and for my kids and my future. Your kids. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm looking forward to learning more and hearing more. We're going to ask you a couple questions on our way out. What are you reading?
What am I reading?
Or the last thing you've read?
Well, I'm going to start reading Crime and Punishment.
That's an old book, right?
Yes, but my dad has my dad's a big reader, right? And my dad mm-hmm. He keeps telling me, you have to start reading. I just, honestly, if I'm being honest, I have not been up to par with the reading.
That's okay. Yeah, okay, but okay.
Crime and Punishment
audiobooks?
Is definitely... No.
No audiobooks? No, okay. What are you watching? We know you're listening to 50, you're listening to Moneybag Yo, you're listening to Drake.
Right? Scandal. Scandal. Everybody tells me that I remind them of Olivia Pope
okay.
from Scandal. That's my girl.
I can see that.
Shout out to her. Yeah. Shout out to Kerry Washington.
Shout out to Olivia Pope. Yeah.
And Lioness with Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. Very similar.
Those two females, I think that I channel them. I look up to them.
I see it. So this is character study then. This is work. This is not, you know.
I watch the way that they act, but how their characters are in the shows. If I could be like the both of them combined, yeah.
What is it? What is it about them?
They're just so strong, and they don't take, I don't know if I could curse, but they don't take anything from anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't let anybody speak to them that the way that they want to. As much as I have empathy and I care, I really like to let people know that they can't play with me at all. And
so you do boundaries.
Heavy on the boundaries.
20 years of Taekwondo.
Right? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Even the people who have shot me, it's like, you know, like you shot the wrong person. Mm. I'll tell you that right now.
So you guys are going through court?
Everything. We're going through the whole trial. Still going through it.
And you're not flinching.
No. And they'll hear from me. They'll definitely hear from me. So it's in court.
You're preparing to say your part.
Yeah. And those who, especially in the community, those who have not supported, those who have just been, who like to just talk and gossip, they'll hear from me too.
Is there going to be a restorative practice piece to this, a mediation, a victim offender mediation or anything like that?
I have no clue.
I mean, in your mind, I'm saying like, are you going to at some point sit down with your attackers?
I want to.
You do? Okay.
Just, why did you do it? You know, there's so many questions, like, why?
That's right.
Because, well, they didn't know me. So it's like, I don't know who they are. Why would you just shoot an innocent girl? Like, I don't understand,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's horrific.
Yeah, well, but why would you shoot anybody in general? Like, my boss, he, rest in peace to Buddha. We call him Buddha. Rest in peace to him, because that was tough.
Good dude.
Amazing guy. The first, when he hired me, when he brought me on his team, he was like, no matter what, I'm going to protect you. That's exactly what he tried to do that night.
Wow.
And he ended up, you know, dying. So shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah. You've been listening to Let's Talk with Dr. Batts. I'd like to thank our guests for sharing her story, her wisdom, and her commitment to helping others heal. I believe that stories are more than experiences. They are windows into the conditions that shape our communities and invitations to imagine something better. And that's what you're all about, right? Mm-hmm. Because behind every statistic is a person. Behind every person is a story, and every story points to something bigger. If today's conversation moved you, challenged you, or helped you see something differently, I hope that you'll share it with someone else. Until next time, this is Dr. Batts. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep building communities where people can heal, belong, and thrive. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Let's Talk.